ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट 3 ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। महतां खलु विप्रार्षे उत्तमश्लोकपादयोः छायानिवृत्तचित्तानं न कुटुम्बे स्पृहामिति। Elevated Mahatmas who have taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are fully satiated by the shade of those lotus feet. Their consciousness cannot possibly become attached to family members. Purport, Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung, Nitai pada kamala koti chandra shushitala jaychayai jagatar durai. He describes the shade of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda as being so nice and cooling that all materialists who are always in the blazing fire of material activities may come under the shade of his lotus feet and be fully relieved and satiated. The distinction between family life and spiritual life can be experienced by any person who has undergone the tribulations of living with a family. One who comes under the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord never becomes attracted by the activities of family life. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Parang drishtva nivartate, one gives up lower engagements when he experiences a higher taste. Thus one becomes detached from family life as soon as he comes under the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yataf Padakamalam Shri Guru Navaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Purajana Sahitam Krishna Taitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakan Vitamscha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Maharaj Parikshit is inquiring about Maharaj Priyavrata, who Shukadeva Goswami has described as being a great devotee situated in family life and also with attachment to family life. So Parikshit Maharaj is asking that this sounds contradictory because it hasn't been stated yet in Shukadev's disquisition, but Prahlad Maharaj, this comes in the 7th canto. Yan maithunadi grihamedhi sukham hi tucham kandu yanena kariyo iva dukha dukham tripyanti neha kripa bhajama atanod kandu yanena kariyo iva dukha dukham. That is, Prahlad Maharaj very explicitly and frankly says, and some people get shocked when it's stated, but it is a statement of Prahlad Maharaj in the Bhagavatam, that happiness in family life, center, the so-called happiness of family life, which is tucham, very insignificant, centers around sex life, which is like an itch. The example is given as of an itch. If you scratch it, there's a little seeming relief, but then this itching gets worse. So in other words, if one indulges in sex life, then immediately one feels satiated, but one becomes more and more addicted. As will be stated also in this canto, that what is that? Pungsastriya mituni bhavametam tayoraho hridaya grantimahu ato griha kshetra sutapta vitayar janasya mohoyam ahamameti. That the attachment between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. And that when one becomes locked into that, then it's like a knot on the heart. It becomes very hard. One's heart is tied up, so one cannot give it to Krishna. And then one becomes involved in finding a place to live, having a home, griha, kshetra, some land and property, or attachment to one's own home, attachment to one's own area, attachment to one's country. You see that people, if you live in a big city, people will, they may form some gangs. The young boys from, we are from this area, or we're from that area, or they become attached to our city, our city's football team. They become attached to, this represents the hopes and aspirations of the people in the city. Or if they have more than one football team in the city, then they'll consider this area, we support this team, that area, they support that team. So they have their own home they're attached to, then their own area they're attached to, then their own city they're attached to. And a little bit more, you'll find that people in Northern England, I don't know about now, but I suppose it's the same, they don't like Londoners. They have some feeling against Londoners. Is it like that? We don't like those people from South England. So, but then when there's a war or there's an international football match, then we also all come together and we support England as they lose and lose again, no doubt. So, and then we have, there are movies of space invaders, and then all the people on the earth unite to fight for the earth against, I have never seen them, but I just presume that to unite against the space invaders, because we're all together fighting. So we have local interest, a little bit more expanded, a little bit, that we are attached to our own home and we'll fight with the people next door. So, but then when there's a bigger group, then we identify with that, and the bigger group, we identify with that bigger group. So in this way, we become attached to our land, our area, what we consider as ours. Ato griha kshetra suta, sons, apta, relatives, suta apta, vitar mani. And in this way, we become absorbed in maya, illusion. So that analysis is given, that it all begins from this sexual attachment or family attachment. Prabhupada often quoted an economist, what was his name? Marshall or something. He often quoted that he'd studied in college economics, and one economist whose name I can't remember, something beginning with them. He quoted that, Prabhupada quoted that the family life is the basis of all economics. Because why should a man go and work hard all day to support his family? Actually, nowadays that's gone, because they're practically, what is the family? They talk about one-parent families. That's not a family. It's like talking about half a pair of cartels or something. Yeah. Half a pair doesn't work. Or the sound of one hand clapping or something. It's not a family. It's actually, traditionally, family means not just, and now they think that, or they did think that family meant husband, wife, and one or two children. But previously it meant many children and many uncles, aunts, grandparents, and big family. Now they made it smaller. Now it's getting smaller. Now it's down to one parent. Although they make thinking of having two parents, that means two lesbians or two homosexuals. And very, very strange they have these ideas. Not strange, but it's becoming accepted as normal. Recently in America, there were so many homosexual marriages ratified by the law. So it's a very strange society we're living in. Anyway, the point is that this the family life, that is considered the basis of economic development, because The family was the basic economic unit. And economic unit means based on sense gratification. So nowadays people are thinking we don't need a family to have sex, but it's still the basic principle of material enjoyment is that sexual enjoyment. So Parikshit Maharaj was very surprised to hear, how is it that Maharaj Priyavrata was a great devotee and also very much attached to family life? Because the two things don't seem to go together at all. It's again, there are so many verses from Rishabhdev. Mahat sevam dwaram ahur vimuktis tamo dwaram yoshitam sangi sangam. That the door to liberation is opened by serving great souls. Whereas the door to, or the path of bondage is, and bondage and ignorance comes by associating with persons attached to women. Not even if directly, but even if one associates with such materialistic people, then he becomes entangled in material life. And therefore Parikshit Maharaj asks, how is this? What is this? It seems very strange. And therefore Shukadeva Goswami will explain that Priyavrata Maharaj's entanglement in family life was incidental, because he had no desire to enter into family life, but he was practically forced to by the order of Lord Brahma. And therefore he did so, and he did so with... he took full responsibility, having entered family life, he took full responsibility. Actually, it was required for him to enter family life so that, because he was such a capable and saintly person, it was required that he take over the rulership of the universe. So for that, it's required to be grihastha, to execute so many social duties. So he did so, and he lived a full family life. He had children, and it said that he enjoyed the pleasures of family life. But at the same time, he never forgot Krishna. And even though it may have appeared that for some time he was more absorbed in family and social life than Krishna consciousness, because his real intention of life was to serve Krishna, then even though superficially he may have temporarily appeared to have forgotten Krishna, Krishna didn't forget him. We find, that's described in Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, that in his childhood he used to, as he described himself, Srila Prabhupada used to, in a playful way, worship the deity. But then in his college life he put the deities away in a box, because I'm too busy with college life and all these things, study, sport, social life. But then in a dream, Krishna said, could you take me out of this box and look after me? And so he did. So he superficially forgot Krishna, but Krishna didn't forget him. Of course, Prabhupada said, there was never a time in my life when I was not thinking of Krishna. So these things have to be understood very carefully, not that we think that Prabhupada was in Maya or any such thing. So Krishna, he doesn't need the worship of anyone, because he's always fully worshipped by the Vrajvasis, but he likes that his devotees worship him. He's hungry for more and more love. He wants to be loved. Krishna doesn't like not to be loved by anyone, because he is Akhila Rasamrita Murti. He's Rasamai. Rasovai Saha. He is full of rasa. So he doesn't like when devotees forget him. He doesn't allow them, actually, to forget. What is that? There's that one verse. Mukunda Sevyanyabhadanga Sangasritim. There's one verse which I'm not fully remembering, which states that Savaijano Jato Kutanjana Vrajani Mukunda Sevyanga Sangasamsritim. That even though a devotee it may appear that he goes away from Krishna consciousness, but actually he cannot. It may be temporary, but he cannot, because one who has actually tasted the nectar of the lotus feet of Krishna, one who has tasted the nectar of engaging in Krishna consciousness, he can never forget that. So Prabhupada comments in the purport that a devotee may appear to undergo the ravages of material life. He may appear to be attached like a materialistic person, but actually he's not. A fallen devotee can never be considered like a karmi. He's a different person because he's under Krishna's special protection. Now this shouldn't be misunderstood to think that, okay, I did enough devotional service for this life and now I'll enjoy myself and Krishna will remember me. That is not a loving, there's no love in such an attitude. That Krishna remembers the devotee because he remembers the love which that devotee offered to him. So if in a most blunt way a devotee rejects Krishna, then Krishna may not extend his love to that devotee. But if somehow or other, circumstantially, a devotee falls away from Krishna consciousness, Krishna will look after the devotee. So these narrations are given, these facts are stated to assure us of the superlative qualities of pure devotional service, that there's no loss in this path, that even if we fall while executing devotional service, we don't lose anything, because even if we fail to execute our Krishna conscious duties perfectly, still we are the gainer in everything that we do. But if we execute materialistic duties very nicely but don't take to Krishna consciousness, then everything is useless, everything is lost. That there's that verse, what is that? My brain's a little dull this morning. That states this very clearly. Now, this is not meant to give us an excuse to go away from devotional service, but it establishes the fact that if we do engage in devotional service, then despite any incidental fall, we can go on, or Krishna will help us. Although, practically we see that unless one becomes fixed in Krishna consciousness, it becomes very difficult to come to the proper standard. Unless soon after taking to devotional life one becomes steady in devotional practices, then it becomes difficult to come up again. So we're always exhorting devotees to come up to the right standard. Just like last night I was speaking to, there's so many young people taking to Krishna consciousness, but to come up to this, to the standard required for actually making advancement, it seems to be difficult for them. Of course, we encourage people, take to Krishna consciousness, chant one round a day, chant five rounds a day, chant 10 rounds a day, like this. But if they think that, oh, okay, they told me to chant 4 rounds a day, okay, I'm doing that, all right, okay, that's enough, then we're not going to get the same result as we would do by taking to the minimal standard required for initiation and further progress. So we have to convince people who are coming to Krishna consciousness that it's very good to do something for Krishna, but really if we're to go home back to Godhead, if we're to actually get the benefit of taking to Krishna consciousness, we have to take to it very seriously. We have to make it the central focus of our life. It's not that Krishna consciousness is a pious hobby, but it is the very meaning of our lives. It's not that the meaning of, we make the central focus of our lives to have some job or career advancement, and we're also Krishna conscious. Of course, that's a lot better than not being Krishna conscious in any way whatsoever. But at the same time, it's still a long, long way from coming to the standard that is required to take up Krishna consciousness in such a way that we can go back home, back to Godhead. Of course, anything is possible by the grace of the Lord. Even one who hasn't practiced seriously can go back to Godhead. But in describing this, Prabhupada gave the example that we shouldn't wait for an honorary degree. There are two ways to get a degree from the university. One is the normal method. You go and you study and you work hard and you pass. The other method is that someone is awarded an honorary degree, but that's very rare. And you can't, if someone asks, well, why don't you go to the university and get a degree, and say, well, I'm waiting for an honorary degree. It's a foolish proposition, because anyway, to get the honorary degree, you have to do something more than the average graduate. To be honored with an honorary degree, you have to, that means that you're already, by your practical activities, you've so far surpassed the level of the ordinary graduate that the degree is included in your activities. It's to get an honorary degree, one has to far, far surpass the level of an ordinary degree passer. Otherwise, others may know why, you know, what's this? So it's only like really, really accomplished people who get honorary degrees, like Margaret Thatcher, and she got an honorary degree. Although she had a degree from Oxford, but she was given an honorary degree from some other place. And then this, who's that in South Africa?
This Nelson Mandela.
Hmm?
Nelson Mandela,
he was also given some honorary degree like that. So you have to be quite an achiever to get the honorary degree. So either way, to get a degree by the normal method, that's also an achievement. And to get the honorary degree, there's not actually any method to get an honorary degree. It may be conferred on one. So really, if we're to follow the method for attaining pure devotional service, that is the guaranteed. Of course, nothing. Everything ultimately depends on Krishna's pleasure, whether he will award us pure devotional service or not. Muktim dadati karichit nasma bhakti yogam. He very easily gives mukti, but not pure devotional service, not very easily. But so that ultimately depends upon Krishna's desire, but Krishna does desire us to come to him, and he has given us the path to come to him. So that stated that Krishna, it's ultimately up to him. There's no guarantee that by following all the rules and regulations of devotional service will actually be blessed with pure devotional service, but generally it's understood like that, because why would Krishna not award us devotional service if we perform it very seriously? Because he's given the process so that we can come to him. So if we do everything required for coming to him and then he says no, that wouldn't be there. No, but that's unusual. But the point is that we should understand that we are depending on Krishna's mercy. We should never think that like I was saying yesterday, that I've chanted my 16 rounds, I've followed the Ekadashi, I've taken only prasadam, and you know, open the gates to Vaikuntha, I'm coming. Have a brass band ready for me. So it's a matter of attitude, that even if we follow all the rules and regulations, humility actually has to be required. And prarthanas karaya shada narotamadas, always praying for the mercy of the previous acharyas, then we can go to Krishna. So this Parikshit Maharaj is asking about Priyavrata Maharaj. He appeared to be an entangled householder. So the difficulty with being there are many difficulties with being an entangled householder, but one of them is that one tends to forget Krishna. And if one is absorbed in household affairs, then how will one do sadhana? Because there's always something to do, there's always something to enjoy, and there are many things that we could do apart from performing sadhana. So if one is an attached householder, then how will he do sadhana? So it seems contradictory, but Shukadeva Goswami will clarify how Priyavrata Maharaj, how after many years of enjoying family life, he eventually left everything and went to the forest and became fully absorbed in Krishna. So that is required, actually. That is the Vedic system. It's a very good system, of course, because it's given by Krishna so that we can come to him. So the system is that in the beginning of life, the young boy will be a brahmachari, trained in spiritual knowledge. And then after that, he'll be a responsible householder. Then after that, he'll withdraw into vanaprastha life when children are grown up. Withdraw and only concentrate on, gradually, only concentrate on Krishna consciousness. Because otherwise, if one remains in householder life all his life, then even if one is chanting Hare Krishna at home, still the attachments are going to remain. So it's difficult to fully become absorbed in love of Krishna if one is, or even in the process for developing love of Krishna, if one is still maintaining material attachments. So the general formula which Prabhupada quoted many times, panchas ordvang vanang vrajet, having gone above the age of 50, one should go to the forest. Means give up family life and take to Krishna consciousness fully. So that's a very good process. And Prabhupada himself showed this example. He was first vanaprastha and then sannyasi and became completely detached from his family members and fully absorbed in preaching Krishna consciousness. So this culture needs to be reinstated, because nowadays in India also, the old men, they don't leave home. They just sit in front of the TV like everyone else and pass their life on, and eventually they die. So there's nothing auspicious in that. It's very inauspicious, actually, if one simply remains at home, absorbed in material life. Of course, if one remains at home, chanting Hare Krishna, that's much better. But again, still, the attachments are likely to be there. Therefore, it is best that the householders, when they're getting older, the children are grown up and settled, as the saying goes, means married and like this, that they withdraw from family life. There's no need to go on working forever, but working in some job or occupation, but fully engage in Krishna's service. And that's a very good example for the next generation, because then their own sons will see that, oh, my father, he retired and he fully engaged in Krishna consciousness. I should do that also. So it becomes a very good tradition. And for ladies, they may either be with their husbands when they're older in the vanaprastha ashram, working together, moving together in activities of service to Krishna. Or they may, or if the husband, he may leave home, and then the ladies will stay there, and they have very important role, grandmothers, to help the younger generation in their family life. Traditionally, people would be having children at a young age, so they themselves are not much more than children, and they're having children. So it's good to have the grandmother especially there to help in all the practical affairs of looking after children, and even to give this emotional and moral support. So it's a very natural system, actually, one can gradually become detached from, live a pious family life and then gradually become detached from that. So Parikshit Maharaj, he also, not in old age, but in the prime of life, he got the message, you have 7 days to live. Okay, what should I do? I'm getting out of home and I'm going to find out what is the purpose, how should I spend these last 7 days. He had that culture because he came from a cultured family. He had that culture that, oh, now the end of life is approaching, then I should perform fully spiritual activities. So that culture was there. We find in Bhagavatam so many great kings, they left all their opulence to search out Krishna at the end of life. Dhritarashtra, he was a renegade in this regard, and Vidur had to practically kick him out of the home. Get out of here! Why are you rotting here? You're old, your sons are killed. Get out! So eventually he went to the forest. It was hard to get him out, but that was the tradition. The whole life was organized in such a way that one can make advancement in Krishna consciousness. So even if one may be an apparently attached householder, if actually his goal of life is Krishna, then Krishna will look after him. But at the same time, even if one's had an opulent householder life, he must be prepared at the end of life, at least, to accept Tapo Devyam Putraka Yena Sattvam Shudhyadyasmad Brahma Sokyam Tunantam, to accept those austerities which lead us to eternal blissful life in Krishna consciousness. Not that one will remain forever in family life, but should come out and perform. First of all, one should oneself become firmly fixed in renunciation and should perform activities valuable for the whole of human society. Vasudhaiva kutumbakam. Instead of thinking of one's family as the small number of family members, that the whole world is my family. Sannyasi leaves his family to enter a much bigger family, the whole world, because he sees everyone as part and parcel of Krishna. And his own duty to ministrate to the whole world. Bhaja Krishna, Bolo Krishna, Koro Krishna, Shukka. Everyone should chant the name of Krishna, worship Krishna, and learn about Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any question about this?
If someone is a brahmachari, but they're causing the disturbance to like themselves and maybe other devotees around them, is it better for them to get married and then go through the whole process, or just try and stick it out as a brahmachari?
If a brahmachari is causing disturbance to others, is it better for him to get married? Well, it's better for him to stop causing disturbances. So if he gets married, I mean, even to be married, one should be somewhat sane, because if one is... marriage means responsibility. It's not just that one has excess passion and one looks for some way to release that passion. That's actually, if a brahmachari is disturbing others, he's not really a brahmachari at all in the first place. So it's sometimes said, well, someone who's too passionate being a brahmachari, they should get married. Well, maybe, but they should also understand what is the purpose of family life. And then it's difficult in the modern age, actually. We're discussing in Bhagavatam about civilized human beings. But in modern life, it's not civilized. And maybe most people in these Western countries especially, they're what would be called mentally dysfunctional. Or psychologically. Maybe mentally functional, but psychologically dysfunctional. Of course, what they call a balanced human being from the Krishna conscious point of view is completely insane. Because if someone is if he's feeling happy and content in this modern society, then he's insane. Because the whole society is crazy. It is Nate Vidu Swartakating Hi Vishnam. They don't know that the whole purpose of life is to attain Vishnu. So if one feels content in a life with no actual meaning in it, then he's a fool. So what is a psychologically balanced person is someone who chants Hare Krishna. But also there should be some modicum of of proper dealings with others and all this kind of thing. So if what we call psychologically dysfunctional people take to Krishna consciousness, if, just as a theoretical case. That's a joke. Because mostly we find that I asked when I was just quite new in ISKCON, just a few months, I think, before initiation. That time, Mukunda Maharaj, that time he was not sannyasi, he was at Bhaktivedanta Mana. So I asked him, how is it so many crazy people join this movement? And he said, well, that's a very interesting question. I asked the same thing to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, you have to be at least somewhat crazy to join it. It's an interesting reply. I mean, from the materialistic point of view, one has to be crazy. But Prabhupada wrote that little monograph, Who is Crazy? Because when people in the West first saw devotees chanting in the streets with what they considered orange bed sheets, and it was very strange in those days. Nowadays, if we see devotees, the dress and everything, I mean, because devotees, they're not the strangest by far. There are much stranger things. But nothing strange, because everything's strange. So it's like if you see someone walking in the street with a tie and a suit and short back and sides haircut. Remember what that is? And people are like, oh, that looks really strange. Because that's unusual. So and in those days it seemed really strange. And people thought, these people are crazy. And Prabhupada wrote a little monograph for distribution. Who is crazy? Those who are spoiling their human life by not taking to Krishna consciousness, they are crazy. And it may be socially unusual to dress like this, but you should understand what is the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. That is, it's sane to act in terms of one's own best self-interest, which is to take to Krishna consciousness. So it's probably better that we, in the first place, we don't take in people who are not fit to live in an ashram. Ashram is meant for persons who are fit to live in an atmosphere conducive for spiritual advancement. As Prabhupada said, our temples are not meant for lazies or crazies. Hare Krishna. Any other question?
When a woman is married, who is considered more important to her, to follow her guru or her husband?
Is it more important to follow the guru or the husband? Well, the husband is supposed to be pati guru. He's also one guru. But actually, this could be a complex question, but actually the guru should, because the pati is a husband, is called pati, is also a guru, so there should be some cooperation and understanding. Not that it's not really the guru's business to interfere in every affair of the family life. So it should be the best thing, the husband's also a devotee, and then there's some kind of cooperation and understanding and trust. Really, it's not the guru. It's not the guru's business to get involved in the intimate affairs of family life. Just some guidance is there, and this and that. But it's guru-in-law, they say. But it's not. But it's not supposed to be like that. It's some general guidance, and then there may be some family problems, especially in the modern age. But the actual in-laws. Traditionally, they would help with all these things, and other members of the village, and this and that. And it's really better the guru doesn't get involved in all the intricate family problems and this and that, because then his position of giving spiritual guidance is compromised. And it's so complicated. It's really best the guru doesn't get involved at all, and it tends to be very emotional. All these kinds of things. So, if he gets involved in all these things, then his position of being able to give guidance from above is compromised. If he comes down to that level and gets involved in all these things. That's my outlook on it. I don't think it's a guru's business to get involved in all the intimate affairs of household life. So what's more important? I didn't really answer that, but I gave a different angle on it altogether. That it's not, why should the guru be saying anything different to the husband anyway? Now if the husband is a long way from Krishna conscious, then we have to consider also differently. But I don't see any case actually of Prabhupada ever ordering the wife to go against, or in, traditionally we don't find the ordering to leave the... Well, there was the case of Govindadasi with Gaurasundar, who Gaurasundar left her and he fell down into Maya, and then Prabhupada said, and after some time Prabhupada said, well, forget that nonsense, Gaurasundar, you just serve Krishna. But he was already gone out of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, I don't see Prabhupada saying, leave your husband, divorce your husband, defy your husband. I don't see any such thing. Of course, he didn't have so many householder disciples. That could also be said. But then, the thing is that women, they're supposed to have a protector. So it's not the guru's role to do that, to provide the social and physical and financial support. So if he turns her against her husband or takes her away, who's going to provide all those things? And even if the husband isn't like as first class as we might hope, at least he's some kind of husband, performing some of the duties of a husband. And rather, if the husband is not on a very good level, it's rather... We find that traditionally in Indian culture that the women, they will, not only in India, in the West also, among pious, I mean like Christians and this and that, the wife will tolerate and try to, by patience, try to gradually reform him. And I've seen in ISKCON among householders many cases of husbands who, they got into drinking and even womanizing and different things, but the wife remained patient and gradually reformed him. So that's her duty. That's the stri dharma to do like that. It's better to marry a, to be very careful in marriage and see. But generally in Indian families they are very careful. They only get married after seeing very carefully the horoscopes and what is his means of support and all these different things? What is his temperament? What is his attitude? Does he have any bad habits? All these things. But even if someone is good, there may be some chance that he may go astray at some point in time. So, but one has to live with that. That's all. Hare Krishna. That's my answer.
After 50, one should retire from family life.
Yeah, not too much after 50.
But in this country, what I noticed... In this country, what I noticed is the men leave the house. Huh. And who look after the wife? Because the children, as soon as they get the job, they get married.
Yeah, this is...
separately.
Yeah, this is different culture in the modern age. It's demoniac culture. So all these arrangements whereby everyone can... It's suitable for everyone to make spiritual advancement. They're not there because it's based on individual sense gratification. Therefore, the children don't look after their elderly parents. And so then who will look after the wife? And it falls on the government, which is an impersonal body that doesn't care. So it's like that. Anyway, it doesn't apply to you, right? You're fortunate to have... I mean, not fortunate means you looked after your children in such a way that they grew up pious. And luckily they weren't spoiled. Even if you try your best, sometimes the children are spoiled anyway by bad association. That's also the...
No, some girls, they make the condition, they look engaged, but only one condition, that you buy your own house.
Hmm.
They make the condition, they don't want mother-in-law.
Horrible. And who will look after them in their old age? They want to enjoy, but they're not thinking. Foolish society. We have a lot of work to do. That's why Panchasod Vangvanam Vrajit, come out and help. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna.